When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm a homeowner, and one of my responsibilities is...
You said homeowner, right?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
How old is that joke, Travis?
I mean, maybe it's the internet connection. I don't know. I just wanted to be really clear. Hello, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon. And welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, where sounds come out of our mouths straight into the bosom of your ears.
Ooh, ear bosoms. That should be the name of our fifth podcast.
If we ever dissolve this and we're like, you know what, let's just keep it the name of our website, but let's start a new podcast, have it be more focused. Ear bosoms is the new name of our podcast.
Oh, the temptation to go and Google to see if that is already like a podcast name. It's high. It's super high. But I have a clicky keyboard, so I'm going to spare the listeners that. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the podcast where we talk about things and talk to each other. Yeah, and sometimes we talk to you, and you talk back occasionally. And the ways that you talk back to us are on Twitter at Apathusiast, on Facebook at facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. Instagram is apathetic_enthusiasm. And then you can send us emails, apathetic enthusiasm show@gmail.com. Our website is apathetic enthusiasm.com. It's a brand. We stick with the brand. The brand will not die.
Sticking with the brand. If you, fair listener, you might have noticed some clicking in the background. And if you didn't notice the clicking in the background, well, there was some clicking in the background. And what it was I, Brandon Cruz, co-host of this podcast, looking up whether or not ear bosoms is the name of anything. And Travis, we got it. We're on the cutting edge of the ear bosoms.
Did you secure
industry.
The URL? You better lock that down before this hits Apple Podcasts, bro. Otherwise, oh, it's anybody's game.
God, we're ear boobs. That's
ear boobs. I think that's how the earbuds originally were marketed, and then like Tim Cook was like, nah, let's make them buds.
I prefer the sequel where he's playing football, Earbud 2.
I just bought a volleyball. Is there an Earbud movie where he plays volleyball? That seems right up his alley.
Let me do some more clicking.
Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the podcast where we do internet research while you listen.
By the way, the answer is yes. The movie is Air Bud Spikes Back, 2003.
I just finished my volleyball season. We only won like 5 games. We could have used a savvy golden retriever on the team. I think that would have helped our chances.
You mentioned the podcast where people look stuff up as they're listening, or the host, whatever. I've listened to podcasts in the past, and here's one of my biggest gripes about podcasts where people are looking stuff up is, if you're gonna look stuff up, do it while the other person is talking, and so there's there's no dead air.
Oh, we should figure that out.
and do it in
chirp 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 chirp
in such a seamless way that the person who's talking doesn't even know that you're looking it up or bring it back up. That way, you know, you're filling dead air with still interesting content. Or
yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I think I'm just used to, after, I mean, we've done this podcast for almost 3 years, I'm used to you not paying attention to me when I'm talking. Yeah. So that's prime opportunity for you to be like, oh, let me go research ear bosoms or whatever. I find out if that's a thing.
I do it so much. I do it with Chelsea too, where she's talking to me and then I get distracted by something she says. I'm like, oh, I want to know more about that. And then I'll go do that. And then I'll come back into the conversation and I'll just hear like the last five things that she says, which is, and that's why I'm going to get a plane ticket. And I say, yeah, absolutely. No, that's a good idea. When are you leaving? She's like, I'm divorcing you and moving out. Like, well, I didn't hear that part, so it doesn't count.
Sorry, but if you want to know who the best boy was on Predator 2, I've got it covered.
Shane Black is the writer of Predator, and he's an actor.
Maybe you can do some research when I start talking about something else.
Okay, yeah.
And one of the things that's worth talking about is that this podcast is a little late. I think there was a national holiday between the last time we did it and now. Not an excuse. Mostly I'm super busy. Brandon
was like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, no, it was. Brandon, stop.
Oh, sorry. Let me look it up.
Listen, podcasts, they're ever present, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe they're a couple days late, but they live on forever on the internet. So yes. Thank you so much for downloading this one and listening to it. Since the last time we made one of these episodes, a few movies have come out, and thanks to MoviePass, not a sponsor,
I have
attended the theater no less than 2 times in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's getting up there.
Tell me more.
I'm trying to make Monday movie nights a thing. I'm mostly because The Bachelorette is on now. So that's like a 2-hour block every Monday night where I know Sheena doesn't care where I am.
Yeah. Right.
She is dealing with roses.
It's Monday.
And manufactured drama.
It's Bachelorette night.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to go see Deadpool 2 at the local Cinemaplex.
Which is kind of the same thing as The Bachelorette. Let's be honest.
I mean, more or less. And we'll get into that in a little bit. but yeah, so I saw Solo and I saw Deadpool 2, and we can talk a little bit about those. Spoiler or no spoiler, player's choice.
Yeah. I would love to talk about that. Those are two great topics to talk about. I've seen neither one of them, but I have been spoiled about them by coworkers, which, as you know, I don't mind. I don't really. They're not like Westworld, where I'm like, let me try to figure out what this is about. Like, those are like, oh, yeah, tell me about it. It's fine. I'll go in and watch them.
Let me be real honest with you for a second, Brandon. Yeah, that's what this podcast is about. It's about honesty,
apathetic honest status.
It's about
enthusiasm.
It's about transparency. It's about being on the pulse of what's hot in pop culture. No, it's not. It's just about whatever we're doing.
That's right.
We talked about Westworld a few weeks ago. We have talked about Westworld in great detail on this podcast, and I want to let you know, I think I'm 2 weeks behind on Westworld.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but just know this. They're on an island, and Jacob is fighting the Man in Black.
Oh, I am intrigued now. I got to be honest with you. The last episode of Westworld that I watched wasn't bad. It was pretty good. But the show in the second season is not pulling the same strings for me, I guess, that it did in the first season. And it is definitely not holding Sheena's attention as much,
right?
Which is making it harder and harder for me to
get her to sit down and watch it with you.
Yes, and so I may just catch up over the next couple of days while she's out of town, because I think she's decided she's way more into the first season of New Girl than she is into Westworld.
I see.
You know, But I'm gonna keep up with it. I'm gonna keep watching.
Okay, great. Yeah. We won't talk about Westworld on this episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm, brought to you by apatheticenthusiasm.com, a fine sponsor of the podcast that we're on right now. We won't talk about Westworld. We will talk about Deadpool. We'll talk about Solo, of course.
Of course we'll talk about Solo.
And those are topics that you're bringing up and that you want to talk about. And that's fine with me. I'm fine with that. From Brandon's end of the spectrum, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Mario.
Politics. I want to talk about crazy cool medallions.
I want to talk about Mario versus Rabbids. And since we're talking about movies, we might as well talk about The Disaster Artist, which I watched last night as well. So, three movies, one video game, maybe two video games, because we could talk briefly about Catan.
Which pains me to think of it as a video game, but yes, it is technically also.
What was that? What was that?
That was a kid firing up Spotify in the other room. So. Get out of here!
No, get out of here, kid! Like a kid, kick him in the behind. Okay,
good. So we'll talk about three movies, none of which we have both seen. We'll talk about a video game that only one of us has played, and then we'll talk about a video game of a board game that we both hold near and dear to our hearts. This is going to be a jam-packed episode.
It's going to be fantastic. Let me actually correct you slightly. So we're talking about two movies that you've seen, one movie that I've seen that you haven't seen, and then which references a movie that neither of us has seen. So really four different movies.
Yes.
Yes. Because yes. of course, the room falls into that.
Yeah,
that's.
I've seen clips.
Yeah. So have I. They're in The Disaster Artist. Okay.
All right. Let's get started, man. Let's go in alphabetical order then. So let's start with Deadpool 2, which is the movie that I have seen most recently, because I saw it two nights ago. In a still relatively full theater for a Monday night, I think 2 weeks after it was released. And yeah, it's the sequel to Deadpool. Most of you have probably already seen it if you wanted to see this movie, if you were super excited after you saw the original Deadpool movie, the named Deadpool movie, not the Wolverine movie that had the bastardized version of Deadpool in it.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
So I'm going to give you my take on Deadpool 2, and I'm going to preface it with our collective thoughts on the original Deadpool, which was, it was pretty good. We weren't over the top enthused about it. I think we gave it one of the more harsh reviews on the podcast.
We were kind of apathetic about it.
Yeah. And I think in part it was due to the fact that the way that the film was structured, the way that it bounced through the timeline really, really threw me off. And I don't know. I think just sort of there were elements of it that it just didn't click with me. And I didn't necessarily think it was a bad movie for that. And I know when I watched it again, I did enjoy it more on a repeat viewing. So going into Deadpool 2, I really had lowered expectations because I wasn't coming from a place where I thought Deadpool was the greatest superhero movie ever.
It wasn't a classic for you. So you didn't go into it with the same kind of enthusiastic fervor that you did for like The Last Jedi or Force Awakens.
Sure. Yeah, I'd say Infinity War or, any of those movies where I was just like,
yeah, or
yes! Yeah. Yeah. And I got to say, I enjoyed Deadpool 2. I thought it was funny. There were several moments where I had a very out loud burst of laughter in a not full theater to where I immediately became self-conscious about the fact that I found certain jokes funny that other people there did not get it at all. Yeah. There was There was one joke in there that referenced Deadpool. Maybe the guy that made me was really bad at drawing feet or something. Like right. it was a pretty on the nose joke about
Liefeld's
shortcomings, if you will, or design choices is another way of saying he can't draw feet anyway. but like some of the, I was the only person in the theater that laughed at that, and I laughed hard at that joke.
So it's such an in joke.
It is. It is.
I think we'll talk about jokes here and more as we go on. Yeah. So continue. Don't let me distract from what you're
saying. The things I really like about this movie are maybe not the typical things that the average moviegoer enjoyed about it, because the crude comedy, if you will, like maybe I'm getting old, maybe it's not affecting me the same way it did when I was a teenager or as in my early 20s, but I've seen a lot of those types of jokes, and so parts of the some of them are still super funny to me, and other times I'm just like, yep, okay, cool, whatever the joke is, that I don't know, it's just
like the Basic Instinct baby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which I have another comment about that scene. And it's very Rick and Morty related. But yeah. So the things that I really enjoyed from this movie are the things that really tied the character back to the comics. And I wasn't an original Deadpool fan. I haven't followed Deadpool for decades, but I became a pretty big fan of the Spider-Man Deadpool series that came out over the last couple of years. I've read some other, stuff that has come out recently, and the way that Deadpool does a lot of fourth wall breaking and is cognizant of who he is within a comic or within a situation, and that he references things like from pop culture and things that he shouldn't necessarily know if he's only existing within that story.
Yeah.
They do a really good job of writing that in these movies, I think. And there are times when he's referencing things that don't make sense to the plot, but those get some of the bigger laughs from me. And I don't know, I completely allowed it in this movie because I understood that that's an essential element of who Deadpool is.
Here's a quick question from a person who hasn't seen the movie, and whenever we do these movie reviews and one of us hasn't seen it, let's just go about it with hey, I'm asking you questions about why should I see the movie or okay. yeah. So here's my question on that. Compared to the first Deadpool movie, would you say that this kind of meta fourth wall breaking act that Deadpool puts on is better written or more self-referential than the first movie?
I think it's as ever present. It doesn't it's not ramped down in any way. So the thing about the fourth wall breaking that I really like is there are moments where it's very much overt, like you know he's talking directly to the audience. There are other times where it's super subtle. It's like a one-liner where he calls Cable Thanos because you know, same actor is playing in two Marvel property movies, and like I don't know, it's those little nods to things that if you're not really paying attention, you'll probably miss. But it's very much that style of humor that you would read in a Deadpool comic as well.
Okay. All right. Next question for you, Travis. And this question comes to you from a longtime listener of the show, Brandon Cruz, who
I know
also...
you don't listen to this show.
I put the intro music on. I put the outro music on, which is the same music. I just copy and paste and change the fade in, fade out. So plot wise is, the original Deadpool was very, very straightforward and very simplistic.
Super origin story ish.
How does the second movie's plot hold up with time travel and what have you?
With time, it's way better. It's way better. It starts almost exactly the way the other movie was, where it's like, here's a scene. Now here's, you know, 4 months earlier, and then like 2 weeks later and stuff. Like, it does like that bouncing around super early in the movie, but within maybe 10, 15 minutes, it's all done. And then it's linear all the way through.
Okay.
All right. I mean, there's some like flashbacks of like, you know, talking about a character's experience and then them like remembering something or cutting to it, but it's not like huge chunks of the movie like breaking up. Like, yeah, it's definitely not done that way. And for a movie that has a main character that can literally travel through time, it's really not emphasized.
Okay, all right, right on. Is Ryan Reynolds still playing Deadpool? I haven't seen the movie. I don't know.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
He also manages to kill Ryan Reynolds at one point in the film.
Oh, it's so meta.
It is. So, it's super meta. It's so meta. And it was one of my favorite parts of the movie also.
You have MoviePass. So you and I talked about this offline with MoviePass and me not really needing a MoviePass and me not really caring that much about Solo and Deadpool. I do want to see Deadpool 2. I do want to see Solo. If I had to choose, I would probably choose the movie coming out called Hereditary and Upgrade, which are both out in the theaters right now, which one's a horror and one's like a sci-fi horror kind of movie. Those have nothing to do with Deadpool and Solo. But if I didn't see those, then I would see definitely Deadpool 2. That's the one I would
over Solo.
You think? Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Couple things of note before we move on. There is a scene in Deadpool 2 that makes the Rick and Morty side of my life laugh a lot, and that's because he's essentially baby legs for an entire scene. As he's regenerating half of his body.
When I'm running.
I learned a lot about myself today. There is a period in this film where they sneak in the sort of like X-Force gray Deadpool costume.
Yeah.
It's not really talked about, and it's sort of as a result of like an explosion, but it still looks really cool. Yeah. And I'm glad they have that in there. And one other thing that I wanted to talk about, but I can't really think of it, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. So for those who are listening, if you haven't seen Deadpool 2, I'm going to spoil stuff that I've been spoiled. And because I don't know the actual things, what they are,
they may or may not be true.
They may or may not.
Oh, I know the other thing I was going to say, but go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay. So this is Brandon's third party.
Inadvertently spoils Deadpool.
Third party. I haven't seen this spoiler extravaganza. So a couple of things. One, Juggernaut's in the movie. I think that's kind of cool.
Very cool. Very awesome part of the film.
So the fact that Juggernaut's in it, and then also that he's not like a Vinnie Jones crappy X-Men 3 Juggernaut. He's as big, if not bigger, than Cyclops, or not Cyclops, Colossus.
Yeah, no, he's definitely bigger. Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks awesome. He looks awesome in the movie.
That's bitching. That makes
I did not expect him. And when they finally showed him, I was just like, I got excited. I got very, yeah.
Okay. So that helmet. Yeah. So it's bitching. Okay. So I want to see it for that. Next up, that X-Force is introduced and almost immediately killed off.
Yes. Yes. All but Domino, pretty much.
Yeah, because she's lucky.
Is dispatched. In the most like comical, like sort of like absurd format too. It's really great. And that's one of the parts where I'm like, if I hadn't seen the first Deadpool, I don't know if I would have enjoyed that as much. But now that I understand sort of the tone of these films and what they're going for with some of the stuff, I'm just like, yeah, cool. It's absurd. Let's go this route.
Yeah. I know Terry Crews did an interview with somebody after the movie came out and was like, I feel really bad for the fans basically playing this joke on them, getting all excited I'm going to be in this movie, and then unceremoniously killed off within minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I guess this falls into spoiler territory. The main love interest for Deadpool, the reason he does everything that he does in the first movie to get her back, she is killed very quickly in this movie.
She's fridged, right? This is the term for it.
Yeah, I guess. What is the exact definition of fridged?
So fridged, I have to look it up, but it's a trope. And basically, I think in like a comic or a movie somewhere, the superhero or main character's significant other, a woman, was killed and put in and stuffed into a fridge. And that was his motivation to like propel the whole movie. So fridges, when you say, she's been fridged, that's basically saying she is the MacGuffin for the motivation for the main character.
I'd say that's true for the first Deadpool. She's not killed as much in the first one. She's still alive, but his whole reason for what he does in that first movie is to get her back, I think. She dies early on, and Deadpool has a death wish at that point because he just wants to die, but he can't. He's incapable of doing that because his body will heal itself. But as you read in some of the comics, Deadpool develops a love relationship with death itself, with the Grim Reaper type death, right? Like, that is his love interest in many of the Deadpool comics. And it was one of the things that in the first Deadpool, that was the type of love interest I was used to reading about for Deadpool. So when he had this like normal human that he had a relationship with, I was like, okay, that's cool. It's good. But it's not the Deadpool I'm used to reading. And now that his love interest is dead, but he can see her whenever he does die, even if it is only a temporary death before his body heals itself, it's much more in line with that sort of relationship that I read about in the comics. So I was really into it. It's a bit of a spin. He's not necessarily in love with death.
Yeah.
But he is continually killing himself for a few moments of genuine affection with death.
Do they make a joke at all about like Twilight in that respect?
I didn't catch it if they did.
Okay, because in Twilight, the second movie, look, people listening to this, yes, I watched a couple of the Twilight movies.
I haven't seen them, so that's why.
Let me just tell you, like the first one is not that bad. It's not that bad. The second one, here's what pisses me off. So Edward, the main vampire, he leaves, right? He runs off because he's like, oh, I don't want to hurt you, Bella. Blah, 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 I'm a vampire or something. I don't know. I don't know what the plot of it is. But he runs off. And Bella, like, somehow gets in a situation where she almost dies. And when she almost dies, puts herself in danger, then she catches a glimpse of him. And so then, for the first part of the second movie, she's continuously trying to put herself in dangerous situations just so she can catch a glimpse of her beloved Edward. And I was like, this is poor morals for young impressionable girls to be like, if I just hurt myself, I'll be able to see him and love him. Anyways, Deadpool. Yeah. Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
He's basically doing Twilight.
Basically, it's Twilight is what that movie is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I enjoyed that element of it. And as they move on, if they make more Deadpool movies, I think it'd be interesting to see that as well. Most recent Marvel movie that did not have a Stan Lee cameo where Stanley actually appeared in the film. They did have a huge like mural, like Easter egg of Stanley's face on one of the buildings as it moved by, in like a wide shot. Yeah. So they're still featuring the appearance of Stanley, but we did not actually get Stanley acting in the film for anything, which is sad because I understand his health is diminishing and, he's stepping back from a lot of this stuff, but, world's greatest cameo actor, will live on in our hearts, for much, much longer.
My last little question. I need an opinion. What did you think of Josh Brolin as Cable? What did he provide to the movie, to his role? Did he was he well cast? Tell me.
Yeah.
Give me deets, man. Give me deets.
I can't, in all honesty, give a super comic book fan impression of what Cable should, how Cable should be played, because I haven't read a lot of books with Cable in it.
Is Bishop in it?
Huh?
Is Bishop in it?
No.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
I don't think so.
Keep going.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, he plays it very straight. He's very, he is the straight man in, to Deadpool's craziness, which I think is great. And they play off each other really well. He's a great, like protagonist early on, but then later in the film, when it makes sense for them to team up, they work really
antagonist. You mean
antagonist? Yeah.
Because what I heard, from what I know of the plot, it's basically Terminator with him coming back into the past to, you know, terminate this little boy.
Yeah. Yeah. The kid from, what's that New Zealand movie? That's got, I've watched it. Oh, it's great.
Black
will look
sheep?
It up. No. This is where I will use the clackities of my keyboard to find this one.
So,
out.
So the whole time now I'm filling in. You're not supposed to tell me that you're doing it.
I'm not doing anything. What are you talking about? Just talk.
That it breaks the magic of podcasting when you're like, oh, now I'm gonna look this up.
Let me just sit here and think about it for a long time, Brandon.
So go ahead and fill in the silence, Brandon. I'm not gonna do it while you have a legitimate opinion about this movie. I'm gonna do it by telling you to do it. And I don't know if I appreciate that or being
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh yeah. Taika Waititi.
Julian Dennison is the name of the young man.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like Waititi directed it, who did Guardians of the Galaxy. Or not what, no, Thor Ragnarok. Whatever. And
yeah, Waititi.
What We Do in the Shadows?
He directed What We Do in the Shadows, Thor Ragnarok, Boy. And those are the four main things on his IMDb page.
Yeah.
It's basically a Terminator scenario where he says he has to prevent Fire Fist from making his first kill, because once he does that, it sets him on a path where he just kills relentlessly. And Cable's way of doing that is he's going to kill Fire Fist when he's a kid. Deadpool says, hey, give me a chance to keep him from making the kill without you actually having to kill him. And things happen.
And they team up.
And movie plots are written.
And then Fire Fist becomes, he still kills, and then they have to team up against him.
No.
No, I didn't get spoiled on that part, so I haven't gotten that far into the plot. Anyway, overall, how do you like the movie, man? Like,
I liked it. I did. I enjoyed it. And if you liked the first Deadpool movie, I definitely think you'll like this one.
Okay, since like you, my expectations were lowered. I did rewatch Deadpool, and I did like it more the second time because my expectations were tempered a little bit more. And I know what to expect from it. Going into Deadpool 2, I think I will feel the same way and just be like, you know, just enjoy the ride. Know what it is going into it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Speaking of knowing what things are going into it. Let's talk about a little bit about the disaster artist. Okay. So Disaster Artist is basically a biopic about what you put little squigglies on here. Looks like a mustache. A biopic about the making of The Room, which is a movie that was self-made by this guy named Tommy Wiseau, and with his good friend Greg Sestrin, I believe. And it was released in 2003, like completely self-funded, produced, written, directed by one Tommy Wiseau. I've never seen The Room. And it's one of those things where people are like, you have to see it. You have to see how bad this movie is. It's hilarious how bad it is. Have you ever seen The Room, Travis?
I have not. I obviously wouldn't have caught it very early. And now that it has gone through phases of sort of this B movie fandom and cult following, I have not been introduced into the circle of this movie until I started picking up on memes from it a couple years ago, like maybe a year ago. But not long after that was when I started hearing about production stuff for Disaster Artist. So
yeah.
It was all within the same amount of time. I know my brother-in-law in San Diego, he goes and sees The Room once every couple of weeks.
Really?
With his friends. Like, they go to a local theater in San Diego that sort of like people would for like Rocky Horror, like Picture Show and things like that. Like they just go and see it over and over again. And they have like their rituals that they do at certain parts of the film now and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really got that cult following.
I haven't seen The Room either. I think I mentioned that already. I think that's interesting because Rocky Horror Picture Show was intentionally made campy and kind of fell maybe almost aim targeted for that kind of like midnight showing. It was tailor made for a cult following, right?
Right.
Whereas The Room and as the Disaster Artist shows through the course of the film, It wasn't made for that. It was made to be an actual movie with Tommy and Greg. Like they wanted to make a good movie. And it was bad. It was unintentionally bad. And for an unintentionally bad thing to be this huge comedy and people just crack up about it and have these midnight showings, It's interesting to me. It's interesting to me that to be like it's a party movie. For me as a huge fan of MST3K, Mystery Science Theater 3000, you know, maybe I'm actually I could get into actually watching the movie and being this kind of group dynamic of laughing at bad stuff. But that's The Room. Disaster Artist, on the other hand, is about the making of The Room, which it stars both of the Franco brothers. One is Tommy, one is Greg, and here's the thing I noticed mainly about the movie. It has so many random cameos from people who are in that like 4-year-old version who did that. What's that guy's name?
Judd Apatow?
Yeah. Like that collection of their circle of people. So you have Judd Apatow, he's in the movie. Seth Rogen is in it. You have the one
Ant-Man in it?
He's
Paul Rudd in it?
He's not in it, actually.
Oh.
Nathan Fielder from Nathan for You, which is a fantastic show if you've never watched
it is.
he's in it, a bunch of like bit parts. They start the movie just interviewing I wish I would have grabbed their names because now I'm having a brain dump, but just the point is there's just so many random people who are throughout the film, and that's weird to me. And they speak of it kind of lovingly, like, oh yeah, this movie is so great. Like, I don't know if that's true. Maybe I should actually watch the movie. But
maybe we should do that.
we should do that. We should have a watch party. I do recommend watching the movie, because if Tommy Wiseau is
the disaster artist or the room?
Disaster artist.
Okay.
If Tommy Wiseau is that weird in real life, wow. It's crazy. Okay, he's right. Such a poor actor. And yeah, Seth Rogen is funny. He plays a pretty big part in that. That's all you got.
Yeah, you told me yesterday that the Disaster Artist was on Prime Video.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely anticipate watching that over the next day or two, because I do want to see it. I do want to see The Room as well. Just to have the cultural knowledge of it, I think maybe we can figure out a way to watch it at the same time or something. We can, we can get that viewing party,
yeah,
feel happening.
I think there are our friend Megan talked to us a while ago about like plugins in either Chrome or wherever to where like you can sync up your Netflix and watch something at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to find that so we can do a watch party.
Watch party. Speaking of parties, there were these parties that we used to hold back at my house. What, like 8 years ago? It feels like now.
Ever ago.
They only existed in the off seasons of Lost. Whenever Lost wasn't on TV, this is when these parties would take place. And that's our Catan parties, right? That every, I think it was Wednesday night, a group of six of us got together. And spent an hour setting up a board game called Settlers of Catan. And now, thanks to the beauty of video games and the internet, we could potentially be doing that once again.
Yes, we can. I the other day, a fellow podcaster, Paul Chomo, who he does this animal podcast called Varmints, the Varmints podcast. I'm friends with him on Facebook, and he posted a bunch of pictures with him and his family setting up a Settlers of Catan game night. And so he had the expansions. So he had Seafarers, he had Cities and Knights, and the 5-6 player versions of those as well. And I was following his pictures the next morning. I was like, oh man, ugh.
Oh, the times we had.
The times we've had. And I only played it maybe like two or three times, four times with you. And
really? Man.
I feel like.
I mean, that's possible. Like we played off and on between Lost seasons for probably a couple of years. And it was like a weekly thing. But there were individuals that rotated in and out. Yeah. And I know that you were one of those individuals that wasn't always there.
Because Chelsea, she's always like, oh, get off of here. How are you going to maintain your raid group in Warcraft if you're playing Catan? She didn't say that. It was like, would you stop paying attention to everyone else but me? No. That's how that actually worked.
Chelsea, let's play Catan, all of us together.
She hates it. She does not like
so
that
does
game.
Sheena. So does Sheena.
Strategy.
But she allowed me to play it. She allowed me to host the game at my house.
I did. I don't know. I mean, I didn't keep track of how many times I played that game with you. But, you know, I like to think of myself as somebody who was a legitimate challenger to your throne. Is that?
Yeah, sure. I'll allow it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Because I did. I won like once or twice of the three or four times I played.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I certainly didn't win every time, nor did I necessarily win the majority of the time.
Yeah, cough felt.
But I won my fair share of Settlers games. Yeah.
So I never asked you, Travis, but how did you get into Settlers originally?
So
how I got into it is from you, but how did you get into it?
Well,
tell
you're
me.
Welcome. It was a board game that a group of my friends in like junior college before I joined the Air Force. We played. I think I played once, maybe twice, with like my core group of friends from high school. And then never really revisited it. And then like my really tight group of friends, I think like three of them were in my wedding, maybe four. we were getting together on a weekly basis, hanging out. And a lot of that involved Settlers of Catan. So we really enjoyed the game a ton. I want to say we may have played it at my bachelor party. I think that may have been somebody else's bachelor party. I know we played a game called Mao at my bachelor party.
Oh,
and we turned it into a drinking game, and a grown man cried that night.
Let me throw this out there. I'm not a Mao fan.
I know. Yeah. You like rules and structure, not made up rules and tomfoolery. But anyway, so I kind of got into it that way. And then I had a Settlers board, just like the standard set. I think I threw Seafarers on there once we started playing as a group between like lost seasons.
Yeah.
And I'd played Cities and Knights a few times, but as we got a regular game going, we just threw it all together, all three sets, and really just spent 3 to 4 hours sometimes cruising Catan. Yeah.
After we played, I fell in love with the game, and I when it came out on Xbox 360, and then I bought it for that, and me and my friend Matt, we would play it online, and I'd beat him all the time because I'm just that good. It was the base, and it didn't have expansions, I bought the actual board game, but it was just me and Chelsea at the when I bought it, so like we didn't it's a three player minimum game.
Yeah, I mean technically you can play with two, but it's not worth
right it's time. Like it's like Chinese checkers with two people, like it's you can, but why would you?
I think that speaks to, if for anyone that's never played Settlers of Catan, I don't know of a board game that I could easily equate it to, for the sake of reference, but it has multiple ways of winning the game, and there is a very diplomatic aspect to it where trading with other players, and not necessarily creating alliances, but there are opportunities for two players to prevent a third player from reaching one of their objectives in order to win.
It's like a friendlier Monopoly is kind of how I feel about it.
To an extent, I think you're right.
Where like Monopoly, it's far more cutthroat, and you're like, F Travis, do not trade Boardwalk and Park Place for these three yellows. Do not do it. And you're like, no, I'm gonna make a deal. I'm gonna do it. And plus $500. Throw $500 in and I'll make the deal. I'm like, no, why are you doing that? That's stupid. in Catan.
But you can definitely be like, all right, listen, Brandon definitely is needing wheat right now. He needs it. If he gets it, there's a good chance he could win in the next three turns. No, there is a trade embargo with Brandon for wheat. You do not. If I see you giving Brandon wheat, it's coming back to bite you. That's all I'm saying.
There's a tariff on wheat right now. It is true. There's a lot more wheeling and dealing, and I think that's why Chelsea and Sheena don't like it as much, partly because we get on their cases about it, and we're like, why are you doing that? Don't do that. He's gonna win next. He just needs two more wheat, and he buys another city, and then he wins the game.
And that is the other aspect of it that I think fostered our love of the game. Is there is the game itself, the game that exists on the board, the pieces, everything else, the strategy with that. But there is the other game that exists between the players sitting around the table. The the conversations where you're reading people, you're maybe sharing information in a certain way. You're watching that guy who's been really quiet for the last three turns
yeah.
because he secretly has a strategy where he's going to win when you don't realize that he's been building the longest road and accumulating the largest army, and you've been really focused on building your third city or whatever. Like, there's so many other things in the game
yeah.
where when you bring it all together, it's a really enjoyable experience. And I say that because every experience I've had with a video game version of Catan hasn't been able to live up to that.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing it back to the video game. The 360 version that I used to play with Matt, it would just be him and I. Like, we wouldn't play against anybody else online. Because he doesn't like losing to strangers. Hell, he doesn't like losing to me. And I was his best friend at one point in time. So, you know, we'd only play with the AI. Well, so the AI on the 360 version of the game would be, they would have different strengths, right? Like, maybe this character would have this, like, random kind of unknown strength. And he's good at trading, maybe. And then this other AI would be good at, this is what they focus on. They focus on it. For those who don't know how you win in Catan, you get victory points. And I think, how many victory points do you have to get to win? Say like,
I mean, it depends on your setup.
11 or something like that.
But I think traditionally it's like 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Depending on the number of players.
So you get victory points for certain things like building a new settlement or getting longest road or having longest army. So you get victory points for all these things. Well, these AI characters focus their strategy on specific aspects of that. Like, oh, we want to rapid expansion to get longest road and get victory points that way or et cetera, et cetera. So that aspect of what you're talking about, Travis, is that they tried to replicate that in the AI of personalities.
It doesn't work as well as playing with people. And right. That's, I mean,
like, because when you're sitting across from somebody, it's different. I can see what you are thinking, right? I can read you, or I know you. So the way I play it, I'm generally, you know, my tell, I'm trying to go for longest road normally. it's just a personal pride thing.
You hitched your horse to that wagon or whatever it is, or you hitched a wagon to that horse and you're just going to go. It's what you do.
Brandon is going for longest road. He hasn't even placed anything yet, but you know, that's what he's going for. Right. But there's still the human aspect of it where Brandon always goes through longest road, but he's doing something right now that is different than what he normally does.
He's buying a lot of those cards. It's odd.
What strategy is he going for now?
He's moved that thief several times using soldiers. I don't know.
That uncertainty is what changes it up, and that's what the AI doesn't provide you. Right.
I hope this conversation is interesting to someone who's never played Settlers of Catan, because we're speaking in a lot of detail about aspects of play styles and strategies. But there's an opportunity, thanks to the gift of the internet, where we could potentially
Webernets.
Get that same feeling again, even though we are in completely different spots in the country. There's Catan online that, I mean, it's pretty much like you said with the Xbox version, but it's cross-platform now. They're adding in a lot of those things that we enjoyed that made the game even more challenging, like Seafarers and Cities and Knights, all of those expansions. And I think now that, especially with the setup we have where we can see each other, we can talk to each other in this format. Twitch is a very popular thing now, and you can get a group of people together and play a game online. And I think there's a chance, Brandon, where we could we could almost play using the online version and maybe get that same feeling again.
Yeah, I think there's a good possibility there, and get some of our friends that used to play with this with us for a night. Like, we can get John, we can get Ryan, maybe.
Yeah, I he's supposed to come visit me within like a month.
Really?
So either way,
tell him I said hi, because he doesn't talk to me anymore. You know,
it's not intentional. He just kind of left social media.
Yeah.
So you have to be much more direct with that, dude.
I know. So Catan Universe is CatanUniverse.de. That's this kind of like online service and cross platform. That's a huge thing in gaming in general. Like, if you can play a game on your iPhone or whatever Android device with somebody who's playing it on Steam, not only Steam PC but Steam Mac, and that's pretty huge right there. Catan Universe, you can play on the browser as well. I think that's so cool. And Travis and I, we've been looking at games after Astroneer. We're like, what game should we play now?
You know, I played a round of pub or two rounds of PUBG last night.
It's not the same.
Some people from work, and I don't know. Maybe I stepped away too long, but
the magic's worn off.
Yeah.
Time to go to Fortnite.
I'm back on Overwatch hard right now though, so that's a real thing. But yeah, I think we should definitely stream a Catan game sometime here coming up. I think maybe we get one just between friends, and then maybe we get one out and get an audience watching as well.
Let's see how it works, and then we'll come back and stream to anybody who cares about watching people play Catan.
Yeah.
Or you know, maybe we'll do a giveaway and you can play with us.
Ooh, let's get some. Oh, this could be an opportunity to get some other podcasters playing with us too.
Oh yeah,
that could be fun.
Ooh, what if it's like a weekly Catan podcast, or like monthly?
We came up with two podcast ideas during the show.
This apathetic podcast thasiasm. I don't know what I'm saying. Okay,
Catan bosoms, the podcast.
Catan ear bosoms. The bee and honey podcast. It's Catan
as
a honey. Okay.
As we approach the hour mark here on this episode, there's a Star Wars film that came out. It's a Star Wars story. We haven't really talked about it yet, and that's rare for us. It's also rare that Brandon hasn't seen it. But Solo came out, and I would expect myself to spend more time talking about Solo on a podcast than Deadpool, but for the sake of time and for the sake of my feelings, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this film.
Just answer me this. Riddle me this, riddle me that. Which is better, Deadpool or Solo? Well, which do you enjoy more?
See, now I really enjoyed Solo. I did really like the movie.
Which one did you enjoy more? That wasn't, I didn't ask
probably
for
Solo.
An explanation.
Maybe for me, Solo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why didn't we
but
talk about
very
Solo?
Why did we talk about Deadpool earlier? Because we were going alphabetical, I think. I don't know.
when you brought up Catan, I was like, why didn't that come before Deadpool?
I don't know, because I'm bad at spelling too. but yeah, so I saw Solo on a Saturday, and that Monday, because I saw it opening weekend, that Monday I was sitting in a meeting with my boss, and it was like maybe four people, and like this is like one of my higher bosses, right? And he mentioned Solo, and I was like, oh yeah, I saw it this weekend. And he was just like, what a snooze fest, am I right? Oh, I don't think I ever checked my watch so many times in a Star Wars movie, right? And I was like, no, I I kind of liked it. I rather enjoyed it, actually. Maybe we should have this conversation later and not in the middle of a meeting. but yeah, I really like Solo. I did enjoy it. I knew it was an origin story. I knew it wasn't going to have any major connection to any other part of the Star Wars universe. I thought it was fun. A little bit of a heist movie, a little bit of a kind of gangster style thing. There are a lot of like random things that if you're not super deep into Star Wars lore, you don't fully understand or fully get, know where certain things are coming from. But yeah, as a standalone film, I thought it was interesting. And it origin stories, we have a lot of them in this period of superhero movies where like we spend a lot of time finding out what made a person who they are. But there are so many things that are talked about in Star Wars movies regarding Han Solo that for a long time, a lot of people have been like, what does that really mean? Or there are questions like, how did Han actually meet Chewie? Where did Han really come from? What is his backstory? What happened before he ran into Luke and Obi-Wan in that cantina, right? Like, mm-hmm. This movie answers those questions. I thought it was pretty good. I thought that Donald Glover was good as a young Lando. I thought there's a droid that's like Lando's companion in this film that was pretty hilarious. I don't know. I liked it. I liked the film. I'm gonna stand by it.
And that he probably bangs. Throw it out there.
Yes.
Because Lando, let me just talk about this real quick. People are like, oh, and then it's implied. I don't know if it's implied or if it's actually mentioned that Lando is banging his robot companion. I'm like,
it's implied.
I'm like, come on, like Billy Dee Williams. Like, I'd probably let him do me. Like, Lando is just. If Lando wants, Lando gets. Like he is just a smooth mother trucker, right?
Yeah.
And so him being pansexual and people having a problem with that, I'm like, I don't have as much of an issue with. The whole kind of like, let's fill in the gaps of the history of Han Solo or any character in Star Wars. I don't necessarily mind. But there's certain things where I'm like, this is kind of cash grabby, or not necessary, where I think of the Star Wars books leading up to like Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, where a lot of character beats are in those novels that don't translate directly to screen.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think some things are you shouldn't have to necessarily explain it.
And I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. You don't have to, and using the term cash grabby with Star Wars seems
redundant.
Yeah. yeah. I feel like everything that happened after Jedi up until Force Awakens was maybe cash grabby. and even Force Awakens was, and everything since then has been. But it's also like,
well, like, so
I don't know.
So like Rogue One, just, I think Rogue One is in the top four Star Wars movies.
I agree.
Personally, because it is a legitimately good movie, a well-crafted film.
I think it's definitely top five for me.
I've said it before. It is the best filmed Star Wars movie.
Okay.
It's standalone, but it's not like, not appeasing, but the word that just like. It's it's just doing it for you as a fan. Like, here you go. Here's
like fan service?
Yeah, kind of. It's a word having to do with that, where it's just like, yeah, this is fan service. Here you go. Come see our movie because fan service. It was a...
Because that's a big criticism of Solo, is all the fan service in it. And there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Like, there is. And there's a ton of stuff that... There are so many scenes in Solo that I watched very differently than my wife did, because I've watched so many of these Star Wars films repeatedly, and little bits of
wrong podcast.
So many scenes like almost foreshadow to things later on that if you're just watching it and you're not a huge Star Wars fan, you're not gonna care about. But that doesn't make the film any less enjoyable for a casual fan.
Yeah.
And I will say Sheena really enjoyed the film. And she usually avoids Star Wars films.
Yeah. Like I have no doubt. Like, I think I will enjoy Solo. I do. But when we think about standalone Star Wars films, like Rian Johnson will eventually do with his non Skywalker-esque Star Wars films out there in the nether, I think a Star Wars film that is a spinoff needs to be truly standalone, where it's, you know, okay, maybe you bring in a cameo here of Darth Maul there or everywhere, but you're not like,
it's not tied to a key character from the Star Wars saga,
right?
In this case, Han Solo.
That's basically what I'm saying.
I'm with you. I would make the argument that the prequel films are essentially filling in all these gaps for the Skywalker family.
I mean, I'm not defending the prequels, so
right.
I would put them in the same, and
it deals with Jedi, and it deals with my dog is in the room also. Just so we're clear.
The dog has been so quiet this entire time.
she's a good pupper. The prequels do a lot to set up everything for the Empire, for the Rebellion, for the Skywalkers, for the Jedi, for the dark side, everything. Like, all these major portions of, you know, the original trilogy are set up and explored in those prequel films. But one thing that is really almost untouched is Han Solo. We learn nothing about where he came from or what happened to him prior to A New Hope. And this film kind of gives him his opportunity to be like, hey, here's where I come from. Here's where I grew up. Here's what got me to be the, you know, scruffy headed nerf herder that I am today.
And this is where I come in and I say that things like the comics or Rebels or the novels, they should fill in that backstory. Like, we shouldn't have to cast a new actor, cast new actors, I should say, and force people into the theater to see what happens into it. You know, maybe this is me being an old person, but like, all that stuff existed out there in the extended universe before. That's why it feels cash grabby to me, is they're like, yeah, let's get people into the theaters for this stuff. All that stuff is out there and can be out there, like Aftermath, like talking about Holdo and Laura Dern's character from The Last Jedi, all that stuff. Rebels being the case. My main argument for this, Darth Maul shows up in Solo. I haven't seen it, but I know he shows up for like 20 seconds or whatever, as kind of like the head of this criminal organization. And he has robot legs because he survived and he got robot legs. All that, like, his story is told. Yeah, yeah. There's a theme with not normal legs.
We need to call this episode not normal legs.
Not normal. I should start naming episodes after things we say. It's funny. His story is told in the Rebels show with Obi-Wan, who's a main character, showing stuff that happened on Tatooine before the events of A New Hope. Like that is a perfect avenue for this kind of background story.
And realistically, like, I understand where you're coming from. I agree with you. I know that Disney officially like said that the expanded universe is not canon anymore, and that the things that they produce or the things that are being produced will become the true canon for everything. But there are also a lot of nods or sort of things that they've pulled from the expanded universe to kind of keep many of those themes or even some of the characters still true to where they were out in that expanded universe. So it's, I don't know, it's this weird gray area of stuff. I'm with you. The movie didn't have to be made, but I like that the movie was made. I know that there were a lot of production issues with it. And maybe
Lord and Miller, man. I feel bad for him.
Because it didn't produce as well in the box office as expectations were, because every Star Wars movie has done well in the box office. Maybe this is a sign that Disney is maybe oversaturating with some of the Disney film or like the Star Wars films, and maybe they're going to go in a different direction. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it'll all just be cash grabby and we're all going to get burned out on Star Wars, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I as a film, I enjoyed it. It definitely wasn't my favorite Star Wars movie. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't my favorite Star Wars movie, but I definitely wasn't checking my watch all the time and being like, what is this?
Yeah, gotcha. Well, I do want to see it. And then someday when I do, I will update this podcast and you on both Deadpool 2 and Solo. And then when you watch Disaster Artist, you hit me up.
Did you hear that thunder?
That was thunder?
That was thunder. So we may need to push Mario Rabbids off into our next episode.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not
with thunder. That may mean kids that are interested in having a parental figure. so Mother Nature has brought us to an end on this episode. But thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you for those of you that continue to download this silly little podcast on a regular basis. If you're listening on a regular basis and really enjoying it, maybe you could share this podcast with a friend of yours or two, post about it on your social network, whichever one you prefer. We're on most of them, so you can share a direct link to our social media pages.
That's right.
And then, yeah, if you haven't rated this show on Apple Podcasts, maybe take the time to do that. We would certainly appreciate it. And yeah, if you have ideas for a future episode, let us know. I know E3 is right around the corner.
Right around the corner.
As is tradition, we like to do some of our favorite standout awards from the latest E3. So maybe I can convince Brandon into talking about video games for a whole episode here in the near future. I think I might be able to. I have a feeling.
You know I don't like video games. You know I don't like video games or talking about Mario and Rabbids, the video game hit of the last week of me.
That's right. All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, I'm Travis.
I am Brandon. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Say bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.